It's important to have ears to hear what the Word of God says. Oswald Chambers says, it depends on the inclination of our ears, what we want to hear, what we don't want to hear. And again, as we go to the Word of God, we hear things we want to hear, but then there are always things we don't want to hear. And as true Christians, we don't want to pick and choose. We want the full counsel of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders. I have not shunned in declaring to you the full counsel of God. Right? So again, we're going to look at the sick church of Corinth. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Again, a sick church is not a poor church, for Smyrna was poor. A sick church is not a weak church, void of many programs, because Philadelphia was a weak church, and God praised both of those churches. A sick church is one that does not resemble Jesus Christ. And you, if you are a born-again believer, are the church of God. And yet we can be sick. We can have a spiritual cancer growing in our heart and we don't do anything to get rid of it. We know the church of Corinth was sick. I shared some of the symptoms with you last time. I'll share a couple more today. Remember, a shepherd once said that sheep will follow anyone when they're sick. And the Corinthian church was no different. The Apostle Paul feared. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4, Paul writes, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. See, there are things that God says through his apostles, through the preachers, through the pastors, that we don't want to bear with. We don't want to. We don't want them. But Paul said, please, bear with me. Why? Because the things we share are for the salvation of our soul, for the health of our soul. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. A godly jealousy. And I don't want to share you with Satan and his minions. I don't want to share you with the world because I have espoused you to one husband. I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's why he's jealous. But I fear lest by any means, and again, Satan takes any means. He will take religious means. Any means possible. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What is the simplicity that is in Christ? All you need is Christ. All you need is Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in the beginning, I want to know one thing among you, about you, Christ and him crucified. Center on that and everything will fall into place. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, and they will, the Jehovah Witnesses preach another Jesus. The Roman Catholics preach another Jesus. The Mormons preach another Jesus. Some evangelicals preach another Jesus. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. So the only way you will know if the Jesus you're hearing about is the right one is if the Apostle Paul preached him. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. In other words, they did receive the Holy Spirit, but Satan wanted them to receive a different spirit or another gospel, which you have not received, you might well bear with him. Paul knew that they were about to embrace a plethora of false teachers. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, another God. Why? Because he knew of their sickness. He knew of their symptoms. And last Sunday, I shared with you the one cause of their sickness. I shared with you 10 of their symptoms. And I shared with you the one cure. Let's review just a little bit. The 10 symptoms that I mentioned were the strife and arguments, the division. They were immature, acting like little children, like babies. They were carnal, they were worldly minded. What is in the world, says John? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There was envy. Unchrist-like behavior. They walked as men. They walked as human beings, not as Christ-like beings. They gloried in their preachers. They put their preachers up on the pedestal. Surely, if you want a preacher to fall, put him up on a pedestal, because those pedestals have a base of clay. Put men of clay on a pedestal of clay, and you're about to have a disaster. And I share with you how many churches want celebrity pastors. They draw large crowds, and the pastors want to be celebrities themselves. So they gloried in men. They gloried in their clergy. There was pride. There was a lack of knowledge. Have you forgotten that you're temples of the Holy Ghost? Have you forgotten that you're running a race? Only one wins the prize? Filled with ignorance. And above all, there was a lack of love. Two more symptoms I want to share with you today. The first is found in 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it, brothers, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm? Hey, come to church with a psalm. That's a song. That's great. Has a doctrine? Come to church. Embracing the doctrine. Good. Has a tongue? Has a revelation? Has an interpretation? Nothing wrong with that, except everyone saying, hey, you got to hear my revelation. Oh, you have to hear my song. It's me, it's me. God is not the author of confusion, verse 33. Confusion was in the church. They were more interested in hearing one another and preaching to one another than listening to the pastor. And that was the problem that Corinth faced. They tried to get rid of their leaders. I believe because their leaders preached what the Apostle Paul preached. The second symptom is found in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Hurtful fellowship. You know, there is fellowship with the world that will hurt you. The Bible says that evil companions will corrupt good morals. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That refers to marriage. It refers to business. We had a man here who went into business once with an unbeliever. He was warned. And the unbeliever took advantage of him, and this man lost his shirt. The Christian did. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Come out from among them and be ye separate. That's verse 17. Now the Apostle Paul also says, we cannot go completely out of the world. We must deal with unbelievers. We work with them and we work for them. But we want to avoid the close fellowship. I have had close fellowship with unbelievers, even with carnal Christians. And it did me no good. It did me harm. And as a carnal Christian in my own life years ago, I stumbled others. It was said the church in Corinth existed in a grossly sinful atmosphere. It was Corinth. It was a trade city. People from Asia and from Europe, from all over the world, from Africa, came to Corinth to buy and sell. It was a rich city, but it was a city marked by many idolatrous temples. Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Even Isis, one of the gods of Egypt. And Hermes, and all the gods of Rome and Greece and Egypt had temples there and idols. and it was a place of immorality. You could cast a slur on a woman by saying, oh, you're a Corinthian girl. Meant you were promiscuous. The church in Corinth existed in a grossly sinful atmosphere. Well, don't we today? We live in a grossly sinful atmosphere. Should that affect us? It doesn't have to. It can. It puts more pressure, greater temptation upon the believer. And this grossly sinful atmosphere made its mark on the Corinthian church. Many of the problems of the church found their basis in the life of the city. As I said earlier, some of the grandest, most glorious Christians live in countries where there is no religious freedom. And we pray, and I do pray, we do not lose our religious freedom here. But if we do, it should not affect you. You don't have to take the Christian bumper sticker off your car. You don't have to hide your Bible when someone knocks at the door. No, you come to the door with your Bible in your hand and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Do what you will with me. Doesn't matter. What was the cause? Simply, they were not spiritually minded. They were not minded of heavenly things, but of earthly things. And the cure, I mentioned, was simply repentance. They repented. But yet, as I read to you, the letter from Clement of Rome, who wrote the letter to the Corinthian church some 30 or 40 years after Paul's letter, that they hadn't changed. They were still the same. But yet Paul wrote that they repented, and he was glad they did. But you see, here's the problem. The repentance is the cure. You must not repent of your repentance. You must not repent of your repentance. Repentance must include not only a turning away from sin. It is definitely a turning away from sin. But it's also a turning towards God, His Word, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I share with you, and I need to do it again, for this is review. Which way were the Corinthians to turn? Turn from sin, yes. Now turn to what? Turn to the ways of Christ that are in the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 17. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. This is a warning. And again, the church today does not like warnings. Isn't it true we have warnings on our clothing labels? Right? Dry clean only. I remember I had a suit once that said dry clean only. I said, why can't I wash it? So I put it in the washing machine. It didn't come out well. It was ruined. Whatever glue was holding things apart came apart. Glue disappeared, right? Ruined the suit. We have warnings on our automobiles to pull down the visor, okay? Has a warning about seatbelts, right? Warnings everywhere. But somehow when it comes to following Jesus Christ, we don't like those warnings. But I warn you as beloved sons, said the Apostle Paul. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and that's probably 10,000 too many, yet have you not many fathers. We want to look to the church fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech ye, be ye followers of me. Now that's a mouthful, and we might think that's proudful, but it's not. Paul said, be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Your ways, Apostle Paul? Yes, my ways which be in Christ. As I teach everywhere and in every church. Every church should be teaching the ways of Paul that are in Christ. Paul preached it everywhere he went. I preach my ways which be in Christ, thereby preaching Christ. Right? Because when you look at Paul's ways, and we'll look some more at Paul's ways today, They were the ways of Christ. Be ye followers of me, said Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Last week, Anthony asked me how Paul finished his epistle to the Corinthians, and I couldn't remember everything. And then Joan showed me her Bible, and it was very good. She did. Paul ends this epistle by saying, be perfect, or in the NIV, aim for perfection. See, that is what it is to be spiritually minded. Paul didn't say, aim at my perfection. No, aim at his perfection, as I aim at his perfection. Because the Apostle Paul admitted, Philippians, he was not perfect. Right? So when he said, follow me, he was saying, follow me where I'm going. I'm shooting at, I'm aiming at the perfection that's in Christ. Follow me in this direction. Aim for perfection. Not mine, but Christ's. So follow me as I follow after Christ's perfection. Last Sunday, I gave you 8 of Paul's ways. On the back of your bulletin, it should say, the ways of the Apostle Paul, not ways singular, but ways. I gave you 8 of them. The Apostle Paul said, I count all things as loss and dung, that I may win Christ. I'm sure the Corinthians reeled back in horror. What? Count everything loss and dung to win Christ? I'm saved, right? Not yet. Not fully. I run the race, not beating the air, but I keep my body under subjection, lest I be disqualified. This is the way that's in the Apostle Paul. Paul says, run to win the race. How? Run like he did. I run and keep my body in submission. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable for me. If eating a certain kind of food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat that food again. How willing he was to give up with any earthly pleasure if he saw that it stumbled someone. If I glory, it is not of myself, but of my weakness. I will not glory in my preaching and the churches I've begun. I will glory in my weaknesses. I will glory in my failures. And I tell you, friends, I've learned more from my spiritual failures than I have from my successes. That's what I really learn, who I am. My successes cloud who I really am. They portray who Christ is, but my failures show me what I am. If I'm going to glory, I will glory in my weaknesses, my infirmities. Though I be free from all people, I become a servant to all. If I have not love, I am nothing. And I put away childish things when I became a man. Those are some of the ways that are in the Apostle Paul. That's what he taught in every church. Everywhere he met. You know, when the Apostle Paul reasoned with Felix, he reasoned with him of 3 things: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Righteousness, Felix, you have none. It's filthy. You need the righteousness of Christ. Temperance, which is self-control, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, to bring your body under control of the Holy Ghost. To bring your life, your mind, into subjection to Jesus Christ. That why? A judgment is to come. His reasoning with this unbeliever had 3 points: righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Let's look at 8 more of the ways of the Apostle Paul that are in Jesus Christ. 8 more. Number 1. 2 Corinthians 12:11. These are found throughout his writings, these ways. 2 Corinthians 12:11. I am become a fool in glory. In other words, if I glory about myself, just count me as a fool. You see, when we glory, when we boast of ourselves, we have that spiritual cancer growing within us. Most Christians will say, well, let it be, so what? Oh, Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf, right? The little foxes spoil the vine. For I ought to have been commended of you, for nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. Paul was not bragging, he was saying, this is where God has placed me. God has placed me up here with the chief apostles, with Peter and John. Though I be nothing. Though I be nothing. That's number one. I am nothing. Apostle Paul, you're someone. No, I'm nothing. You're great. No, I'm nothing. You're a tremendous Christian. No, I'm nothing. He's nothing. You know, that's what Jesus taught. The Gospel of Luke, he said, after you have done all the things I've commanded for you to do, say this, I am an unprofitable servant doing that which is my duty to do. Jesus commanded that. And the Apostle Paul is just relating this. Okay? I'm nothing. I'm doing my duty. I'm an unprofitable servant. Only when we become unprofitable in our own eyes can God use us for his profit. God chooses the weak things to confound the mighty. Number two, Galatians 4:19. And by the way, we know that the Apostle Paul had much trouble with the Galatian churches. They were being attacked by the Judaizers, saying you have to follow all the laws of Moses as well as the teaching of Jesus Christ. And Paul refuted that and said you have fallen from grace. But scholars tell us that the Apostle Paul had more trouble with the Corinthian church than even the Galatian churches. One church in Corinth gave him more trouble than 10 churches in Galatia. Why? Because the Corinthians really did not repent in the right way. They repented, but did not go the way of Paul's teaching. Remember, they loved him less. They actually hated him. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Number two, travailing, giving birth. The word travailing speaks of a woman giving birth to a baby. My little children, I travail in birth till Christ be formed in you. If there are people you want to be saved, children, husbands, wives, you must not just pray, you must also travail. That means weep. If there's something unchristlike in you, as he said to the Galatians, till Christ be formed in you, if there's something that's not forming itself in the image of Christ, travail. Peter failed miserably in denying the Lord, and he wept bitter tears. Without those bitter tears, Peter would never have mounted to anything. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. I'm a man who travails for souls. God said through Isaiah 66:8, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Do you want to bring your children forth to the gates of heaven? Do you want to bring your family forth? Don't just pray. Travail. Give birth to their new birth. That's right. Give birth to their new birth. Get alone. Don't just say a little prayer as you're driving. That's good. That's not travailing. You can't travail, really, when you're driving, you'll have an accident. You have to lock yourself away from television, from friends, from family. Get on your knees and face before God and weep for your lost children, your lost family members, for your own spiritual inadequacies. I travail. Number three, Philippians 4:17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. Paul was selfless. Number three, I do not desire a gift from you. I don't desire that you buy me a Learjet so I can fly around. I don't desire that you buy me beautiful cars. I don't desire that you give money to me so I can wear $1,000 suits. I don't desire a gift from you. It was like the prophet Elisha when Naaman the leper came to be healed of his leprosy. He brought a wagon full of gold and silver. And he offered it to the prophet. He said, I don't want it. I don't want your gold and silver. Things have changed today. I do not desire a gift, but rather that fruit may abound to your account. I want your account to be filled, not mine. He was selfless. Charles Spurgeon wrote, as soon as Zion travailed, and this should have been spoken of before, it's out of place, but it'll still render its truth. As soon as Zion travailed, you know that word, as soon as she travailed, she brought forth her children. Not till it comes to travail, not till then may we expect to see much done. God send us such travailing to each one of us, and then the promise is near to fulfilling. And that's something I have to learn more, to travail for the church. Not just to preach, not just to pray, but to weep and travail. Number four, Colossians 1:29. Another way of the Apostle Paul, which is in Christ, and that is cooperation with God. Colossians 1:29. Instead of resisting him, instead of challenging his word, he says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. That's King James. Striving according to his working. In the NIV it says, struggling with all his energy. I don't use my own energy. I cooperate with him. I strive with his working. Not working against the Holy Spirit, but working with the Holy Spirit. For those that are led of the Spirit, they are the children of God. I strive with all his energy. This is what Paul taught in every church everywhere. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Number five, contentment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content, to be satisfied. To want nothing else. I'm content. I'm happy here. I know how to be abased. I'm happy here. I'm happy when I'm dragged before a court and falsely accused. I'm content when I'm beaten and thrown into prison. I'm in pain, I hurt, but I'm content to let the will of God be done in my life. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. How often we take that 13th verse and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Paul's referring, and we can refer to anything we have to do, but to being abased. To abound, even to be wealthy and not let it corrupt you. To be hungry as well as full, and to suffer need. I can suffer need through Christ. I can be hungry through Christ. I can be maligned, misspoken of, slandered through Christ. I can do all these things through Christ. I am. This is who I am. I'm content. I'm abased but content to be abased. I'm hungry but I'm content to be hungry. I'm in need but I'm content to be in need because I know my God will supply all my need. Right? You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote his last book to Timothy, there's an unusual request. Timothy, when you come, bring my cloak. Knowing the selflessness and the love of the Apostle Paul, who says that cloak was for him and not another cellmate? or another prisoner who didn't have anything. I tend to think that way. He didn't say, bring me my cloak because I'm cold. I want more comfort. No, remember, he said, I've learned to be content. This was the end of his life. When we find the Apostle Paul in that dungeon, soon to be executed, he was completely content. But maybe there was someone down the hall who wasn't. And so he wanted that cloak. Number six, Galatians 1:10. The Apostle Paul was not a people pleaser. He was not politically correct. That's why he lost his head. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You cannot be a man pleaser. Oh, you can, in a sense, please your neighbor by trimming your hedges and mowing your lawn, in that sense. But he's saying, I don't capitulate to the will of man. I don't give in to their decrees. I don't live to please others in such a way. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I live foremost to please him. Number seven, crucified. Wherever Paul went, in every church, in every gathering, he'd always preach not just Christ crucified, but are you crucified? If you embrace the crucified Christ, which we must to be saved, you are embracing your own crucifixion. That's what he preached. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Are we? Do we live the crucified life? If not, we have that spiritual malignancy growing and growing and growing in us. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians as well, are they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the afflictions of lust. They have done it. It's not something we do in the future. Oh, Pastor, you know, someday I'll crucify the lust of the flesh. No, they that are Christ have crucified the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, just as they were doing in Corinth. They were doing the same thing. If you bite and devour one another, Paul said to the Galatians. And yet the Corinthians gave Paul a harder time than the Galatians. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so, the crucified life is a life lived solely for Christ. Not for personal gain. Not for personal wealth or pleasure. But for the kingdom of God. And if we do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that you need will be added to you. Number eight, the last one of the ways that be in Christ that I share with you. There are others, I'm sure, but I've shared with you 16. When I share this with you, 16 ways that be in Christ, that Paul had that are in Christ. 1 Timothy 4:6. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. 1 Timothy 4:6. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's again what the Apostle Paul teaches. If you want to be ready to leave this world, you have to fight a good fight. You have to finish your course, the one laid out to you by God, and you have to keep the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to be only, but to all them that love his appearing. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4:14, where Paul says, "As my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech ye, be ye followers of me," which he repeats elsewhere in the Bible. "For this cause I sent you Timothy, my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance." Remembrance, remember, one of the symptoms is forgetfulness. Have you forgotten that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? Have you forgotten that a little leaven leavens the whole loaf? So I'm sending Timothy, a special ambassador to the church of Corinth, to stir up your minds in way of remembrance of my ways. So when Timothy came to Corinth, he was saying, "Let me tell you how the Apostle Paul lives. Let me tell you how the Apostle Paul thinks. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul does with his spare time in his life. Let me tell you. Let me tell you that his ways are Christ's ways." Timothy, and then later Titus, was also sent to bring you into remembrance of my ways, my attitudes, my actions, my thinking, which are in Jesus Christ, as I teach in everywhere and in every church. We looked at 8 ways this morning, 8 new ways of the Apostle Paul, which are in Christ. "I am nothing," said the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul said Jesus became a man of no reputation. No reputation. And nothing reputation. He earned one by what he did going to the cross. No more glorious reputation. But Paul said, "I am nothing." Jesus became a man of no reputation. The Apostle Paul said, "I travail." Jesus wept. Jesus travailed. "How often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings." Jesus wept over and over again. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Apostle Paul, when he said, "I travail," was just saying, this is what Jesus did. Paul said, "I desire no gift." Jesus said, "I've come not to be ministered to, but to minister." Paul said, "I want to give you a gift. I want to minister to you. You don't have to minister to me. I want the fruit to abound to your account." Jesus didn't come checking his bank account every day. "Well, how many friends do I have? How much money have I earned?" No. The fruit was to go into our accounts. "I desire no gift." Jesus, "I came not to be ministered to, but to minister." The Apostle Paul said, number 4 on our list, "I work according to his power. I cooperate with the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself. I must cooperate with the Holy Spirit." The Apostle Paul said, "I've learned to be content." Can you think of anyone who was more content than Jesus Christ? He was content with his social status of being a carpenter, a blue-collar worker. He was content with his poverty. For there came a time when he was no longer a carpenter, but a minister, and he had no place to rest his head. Jesus was content with his suffering, never complained about the beating, the mockery, the rejection. And Jesus was content with his crucifixion. That's what Paul's preaching. His ways, where I've learned to be content, was simply garnished, gathered from, gleaned from Jesus Christ. It's his contentment that I've learned in every state, every condition. "I do not please men, but God," said the Apostle Paul. Jesus never tried to please men. Oh yes, when he healed people, he pleased them, but he didn't go out of his way to make himself popular. Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. That's why he came, to please his Father. I am crucified with Christ. Well, nothing needs to be said regarding Jesus in that matter, because he was crucified. And I am now ready to be offered, said the Apostle Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm now ready. The Apostle Paul taught everywhere in every church, be ready to stand before God. Let go of all our idols or willful sin or known sin. Be perfecting yourself in holiness. Aim for perfection of Jesus Christ. That's all he taught, in addition to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, too, gave the parable of the 10 virgins. Those that were ready went in to the wedding. Jesus himself was ready to be offered. We are going up to Jerusalem, said Jesus. And everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. No wonder the Apostle Paul got himself ready. Ready for death, because he was getting himself ready for the resurrection. And so these 18 things I shared with you, no, sorry, 8 and 8 is 16. These 16 things I've shared with you last week and today, the ways that be in the Apostle Paul is what he taught everywhere, and what we teach here. And I dare not teach anything else, because I will stand before God as a teacher and give account. Why didn't you teach them of these ways? Were you afraid? Did they leave the church? Are you afraid that the guy with deep pockets would stop giving? Are you afraid? I can't be a man pleaser. Neither can Pastor Mike, and neither should you. If we are not followers of the Apostle Paul, we are not followers of Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. I warn you, follow me, the ways, my ways which be in Christ Jesus. I'm going to close with a hymn. It's called Jesus, I Come to You. Out of my sickness, do you exhibit any of the symptoms that the Corinthians had? Do you have any of those symptoms? Envy, strife, jealousy, lack of love? If you have any of those symptoms, it's sickness growing inside you. And that's certainly the way it is for us. We are naturally sick. But sick sheep will embrace a false shepherd. You say, oh, I wouldn't follow Joe Osteen. I wouldn't follow Creflo Dollar. I wouldn't follow the Copelands. No, there's a worse false teacher than them. It's yourself. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. So if you follow your ways, it's just as if you were following Reverend Moon or Jim Jones. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. You can't follow your own ways. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And God the Father laid our iniquity of going our way upon Jesus. So we sing here, Jesus, I come out of my pride, out of my shame, out of my fear, out of my sickness. Let us come out of our spiritual ills and come to Jesus for healing. Let's stand on this last song, number 491, Jesus, I Come to Thee. Jesus, I come. 491. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy will, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gate of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of our sorrows, into thy balm, out of my storms, and into thy calm. Out of distress, to jubilant song, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above, up with forever on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of the sheltering fold, ever thy glorious wings to behold, Jesus, I come to thee. So how did the great apostle end this epistle to a very sick church that was still sick for decades? For decades, it was unrecovered from its sickness. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, or be aiming at perfection. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Before he said that, he said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Examine yourselves. When we do, we will not see perfection. And that's one reason we don't like to examine ourselves too closely, because we see all the imperfections. The Bible reveals to us the imperfections. God's Spirit reveals to us the imperfections. But Paul said, are you in the faith as aiming for perfection? That's the faith. That's the real faith. Aiming for Christ-likeness. You'll hear it from my lips time and time again. We must walk not as men, but as Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, have mercy upon us. Out of our sickness, out of our complaining, out of our discontentment, out of our envy, strife, out of our selfishness, out of our foolish boasting of self and the works of our hands, we come out of our sickness into the health of Jesus Christ. Heal us, Lord. You are the great physician. We dare not allow one little speck of this spiritual cancer to fester in our lives, for it will grow and consume us. So we come to you, Lord. You tell us in your word, if we have this hope of being like you someday, what a wonderful promise that is, that we purify ourselves even as you are pure. And Lord, you are perfectly pure. And so, Lord, we aim at your perfection, as the Apostle Paul did. So we follow him. He laid it out for us. He laid out what your perfection was. May we follow him there. Not to his perfection because he hadn't reached it, but he was reaching forth for the prize for your perfection, Lord. We follow him there. May we do so every day. If we let a day go by, things will fester and grow in our lives that ought not to be there. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.